This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, 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 Bismillah. Bismillah, Bismillah.
إن الحمد لله خلق فقدر شرع فيسر ثم هدى إلى صراط مستقيم الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن ولا فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أيها الإخوة الكرام وأخوات السيدات السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Indeed we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Him for every kind of help and we realize that whomsoever Allah guides no one can lead them astray and whomsoever is led astray by their own desires No one will be able to guide them if Allah has not chosen to guide them. We seek the refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Him to guide our words. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from deceiving and from being deceived. From being misleading and from being misled. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our tongues and our words in order that the message which we intend will reach the object. I want to thank the previous speaker, Dr. Mahbub, for his enlightening presentation. And I'd like to take off exactly from where he left off from, relative to the scenario of our present condition based on the paradigm of the suffering of the Muslims previously under the hands of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I understand that the topic of the presentation this evening is the enemy within. I want to qualify that topic so that we understand that we're talking about the enemy within the body of the Muslims. We're not talking about an enemy within a social environment. We're talking about the enemy within the body of the Muslims, the Ummah. And while we could talk extensively about the enemies or the enemy within a particular social environment, that's not the subject of our speech tonight. In the light of the present world circumstances, some of which our previous speaker spoke about and some of which we saw in the presentation given by the Brothers of the Islamic Relief Foundation, we can see very blatantly the situation surrounding the world circumstances and the many adverse situations that Muslims are facing every day and in so many places. One could rationalize and easily understand why our minds would focus upon the nations and or governments that are directly or indirectly responsible for the perpetration of adversity upon the Muslims throughout the world. As a reaction to these consistent, unrelenting criminal acts, we have seen in the past 10 or 15 years, especially, a string of equally criminal acts meant as reprisals and reactions from groups of frustrated and angry Muslims who believe that they must fight fire with fire. Now, let's keep in mind that this statement that I just made, indicting certain actions as being criminal, this is my subjective evaluation based upon history of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based upon the history and the ethics of international war, based upon the history and the ethics of human behavior, and being objective as a Muslim, and also understanding that I am a citizen of the United States of America, and I am also a person that lives in the West, and I am receiving and benefiting directly from liberties given to me in the West. So we have to be very objective when we talk about issues and actions. I consider that a string of actions done by persons calling themselves Muslims or known to be Muslims against Western targeted places around the world, I consider them to be actions outside of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have no justification and we have no evidence that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam acted in a frustrated manner, acted in a sporadic manner, or acted in a criminal fashion and had no concern for life or limb or property simply based upon the issue that he had to fight fire with fire. So one reaction that we have seen to the criminal acts that we have talked about, the enemies on the outside, have been a string of criminal acts and criminal reprisals that probably will not stop. Because usually frustrated people, if they start off in frustration, they will not end up in order. Frustration leads to more frustration. Because if there was a very clear, settled, determined order and discipline that they were following, the actions would not be sporadic. On the other hand, we see other Muslims choosing to march, shout, and publicly protest in order to at least attempt to peacefully bring attention to these horrendous and unrelenting acts of aggression upon Muslim people. The Muslims that choose to march, shout, publicly protest, they feel, and justifiably so, that this is the least that they can do in facing the onslaught of an obvious enemy. Now, something is better than nothing. So I don't fault the people who choose to march or demonstrate or shout or publicly protest because something is better than nothing. But again, looking back to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is our reference, we never found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leading a group of Muslims down the streets of Mecca publicly protesting with signs, shouting, marching, asking for peace or justice, this is not part of the seerah. This is not part of the sunnah. It's another frustrated act. And the fact that it is organized well and attended to by 30,000, 100,000, or a million doesn't give it justification within the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. It is something which we call something better than nothing. This social and political repression and oppression that Muslims have been suffering has created a host of complex and unprecedented reactions and have led to extreme behaviors, hatred, and vindictiveness on the part of many Muslims, all of which clouds the intellect. The individual that is led to extreme behavior, the individual that is led towards hatred, the individual that is led and prompted by vindictiveness is already clouded in their intellect and they cannot act appropriately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always wanted the Muslims to function under discipline, with a clear head, under leadership, under discipline, programmed, systematic, methodical, and to be patient until such time as their ranks reflect this kind of discipline. But if I am an Algerian and my people are attacked, I feel I must act. If I'm Somali and my people are attacked, I must act. And we go on and on and on and on, so you got these different reactions. Not because these actions have been ordered or organized or disciplined under world, regional leadership of the Muslims, but simply because groups from each one of these interest groups feel we must do something, and we do something. Now, I do not personally justify these extreme behaviors on the part of Muslims, although I am a part of the body of the Muslims. Nor do I justify in any way the criminal reactions. Nor do I in any way justify the criminal behaviors and aggression which has provoked these reactions. What I do want to speak about tonight is another enemy that in my estimation is equal, if not greater, in its threat and its impact upon the Muslims. An enemy